Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back with another solo mission. This time, I'm going to take a look at some Impact Wrestling and what aired this past Saturday, which was their Impact Wrestling Homecoming 2021, where they're going to crown a homecoming king and queen in what I guess would be best described as a mixed tag team tournament. So if you're new to the podcast, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. A lot of times it's myself and my teenage son sitting down here on a Saturday on our flagship show talking about all kinds of wrestling. But I sometimes come back down on my own to talk about some of the less mainstream things that I watch, that including some of the Impact pay-per-views or some other things. So this time it is Impact Wrestling Homecoming. So thanks for checking in. And I don't really have much else to say, so I figure we'll get into this pretty unique pay-per-view right away. So let's talk about Homecoming. So this show for Impact was recorded, pre-recorded, obviously. I believe it was in Tennessee. So there are fans for this. There's about maybe four rows deep around the ring. And despite it being a really small crowd, they had a major effect on this pay-per-view for me. Now, this is not one of the major pay-per-views for Impact. So at least in Canada, where I am, a normal, like, full-on Slammiversary or any of their big ones is a $40 investment. These types of pay-per-views that come along fairly frequently are $10 instead. So it's not a major pay-per-view, but it's still some sort of special event, I guess. So the crowd adds a lot to this. They were up for anything. They were cheering pretty much anything. Even commentary had to mention a couple times that they were kind of rooting for everyone. They weren't so much obeying the heel babyface dynamic, but they were sort of just happy to be there, it seemed, and just rooting for pretty much anybody. So it created a pretty cool dynamic to me, and some people are going to think I mean this as an insult if I don't qualify it, but I really don't. I mean it as a compliment, because to me this felt like a house show, and I enjoy house shows. My family goes to house shows. My son, who is wrestling obsessed, and we even take my wife and younger son, who aren't wrestling obsessed, but just kind of have fun with the live experience. So house shows, why do I like them, and why did this remind me of that? Because sometimes in house shows you get weird combinations, especially for tag teams, because it's not on TV, it's not televised, they're experimenting with things, which is what make house shows really fun. So that kind of felt like this tournament. The other thing is crowds, I find, at house shows are small, but they really do get involved and they really do engage with the wrestlers. And because the wrestlers aren't on camera, they're more free to engage sort of back with the audience, which creates a fun dynamic. The other thing I like about house shows that wasn't so much the case here, but just in general, is they move really quickly. You basically get in, get your seats, there's match, and you're out of there. You don't have to worry about commercial time and all kinds of promos and things. It's a really efficient way to get through a wrestling show. And the final perk of them is they're really affordable. A WWE major show, if you're going to go to one in a major city, it's not, to me, I don't consider it affordable. I mean, I still do it every now and then. I'll do it for an NXT event. I'll probably do it if AEW came, but for something like a major WWE pay-per-view or even a Raw or a SmackDown, the cost can get pretty crazy. So house shows are very affordable, especially when we're taking a family of four with two people who aren't really wrestling fans. They just kind of like to go and have fun. So that was a lot of the feel of this show to me. And I'm going to have trouble reviewing this because there really was not a ton of great wrestling, I don't think, if you really look at it closely. But that being said, I mean, there was some fun stuff going on here, and the crowd was entertained the whole time, and the crowd really sort of filled in some of the gaps in the wrestling and made it more enjoyable for me to watch, because they were sort of doing their own chants. There was a lot of bite his face off and bite her face off, a lot of cheering for like Deonna Purrazzo, even though she's not a babyface. So the crowd was just there kind of having fun. They had good energy throughout the whole show, and I thought they really added something to this. So this honestly felt a lot like a house show minus a couple of the matches to me that felt a little bit more big time. And again, I'm not saying that as an insult. I actually found it kind of fun. So the first match on this show, I mean, it started out with a video package. I don't want to get too much into those. I just want to quickly kind of get through matches. But there was a hype package sort of talking about Morrissey versus Edwards in a hardcore match. Alexander defending the X Division title against Black Taurus, kind of out of nowhere. And of course, the first Impact Homecoming King and Queen will be crowned from the mixed tag tournament that's happening throughout this show. So it's Matt Stryker, D'Lo Brown on the call. Josh Matthews is gone. We got Matt Stryker back. It's kind of six of one, half dozen of the other. I think I prefer Stryker a little bit, but Neither of them are my favorite, if I'm being honest. So the first match is an Impact Homecoming King and Queen Tournament first round match. Hernandez and Alicia, and they have Johnny Swinger with them, go up against Deonna Purrazzo and a mystery partner. So basically, we get the crowd chanting Virtuosa for Deonna, which was cool. And then the surprise mystery opponent is the Drama King, formerly known as Aiden English in WWE. So it's Matthew Raywalt. I forget how they pronounce it. It's my son was watching some of this with me, and this is just an incredibly forgettable name. I don't know what it is about it. I'm going to have trouble remembering it. I'll probably call him the Drama King because I'll remember that. So he gets a really nice reaction from the crowd. I mean, they're kind of up for everything here. So this was a good place to debut him. There's been vignettes for a couple weeks sort of indicating he's coming. So he makes his entrance, or he's in the ring. The crowd is very happy. And he sort of does a little bit of a promo to start. Something about imagining a world where the works of Van Gogh, Bach, Beethoven were never to be seen or heard. I think kind of talking about his absence from the world of wrestling for a while. That basically we were all being denied of this amazing wrestling talent since he was released from WWE and really hasn't done much since then, I don't think. So he introduces himself as the Drama King. He's here to create a masterpiece alongside the Virtuosa. It does seem like a pretty logical combination, actually. They look good together there. So he's hoping to become the king, and along with Deonna, the queen. So honestly, these opening round matches, I really found there was not a lot going on. I think because some of these competitors, right, were going to have to wrestle three matches throughout this show. So I think they kind of took it easy. But again, there was some focus on comedy and things like that. So the crowd was still really into the matches. But basically there was a big shoulder breaker in here. And then the finish comes with Hernandez makes a dive to the outside. Alicia kind of does the same thing. And then back in the ring, we kind of get what they called like a kickback DDT by the Drama King, which is a kind of like a DDT where he sort of falls out onto his stomach as well. I guess that's going to be his finisher. That's going to get him the three count here. So Deonna Purrazzo and the Drama King pick up the win in this first round match. I mean, this was not a great match, but again, I still kind of had fun just because the crowd was nuts and chanting things throughout. And it was just kind of, again, I think it was pretty light work in the ring for most of this tournament, to be perfectly honest, but somehow I still didn't dislike it. It was just kind of, the crowd seemed to be having fun. Felt like I was at a house show just watching these people work on new combinations and new things. So not a very strongly worked match, but something about it was still okay, which is probably going to be a lot of what I say on this review, to be honest. So right after that, we get another first round match, which is Jordan, I guess, going by Thick Mama Pump, Jordan Grace, and Little Petey Pump Williams versus Matt Cardona and Chelsea Hot Mess, as she has been known at times, Chelsea Green. So Chelsea Green is sort of recently back to Impact Wrestling. I guess she's dating Matt Cardona in real life, so that's a logical team there. And then this past week, I kind of noticed it in passing when Petey Williams made his appearance during Swinger's Palace in his Big Papa Pump gear. I thought it was Jordan Grace beside him in the same sort of chainmail on her head sort of thing, but I wasn't sure. But yes, it turns out it was. And it's their partners for this tournament. This match was a little bit better than the first one. I'm still finding it interesting because Impact is a company that has sort of embraced the mixed wrestling format, or even men against women wrestling. Remember, it wasn't long ago that Tessa Blanchard was the champion of the company, not the women's champion, but the straight up champion of this company. And I thought she was kind of booked believably because regardless of her personal issues or whatever, or her attitude in ring, she is, in my opinion, possibly the best woman. She's up there with like Io Shirai and them. She's incredible. So I found it interesting that for this mixed tag, they really, really avoided any sort of serious male and female interactions. And if it was sort of that, it's not my favorite, they don't want to go the whole way. So the men get in the odd little bit of offense, but most of the time, again, it's the women kind of getting the better of them and avoiding taking any major offense and then tagging out. So there was very little, there was the odd spot of it going on, but not a ton. So it was a minor irritation for me, because I think if you're going to run a mixed tournament, just go for it, right? And have the men and the women mix it up, because Jordan Grace has done it before and is fully capable. Chelsea Green has done it before, like full-on wrestled men, looked great doing it. So I felt like they were sort of stopping short of that here. But again, it's not a major pay-per-view. It seems like they were just trying to work safely and have a little bit of fun for this. And I'm not trying to be critical, but that's really what this felt like, is let's put together this little tournament, have some fun, don't work too hard, don't get injured going forward sort of thing. It kind of felt to me. So, sorry, we got to figure out the finish to this. Basically, it ends up with, we get a dive by Petey Williams to Matt Cardona. The women are left to sort of go back and forth. And eventually, Chelsea Green hits her unprettier and pins Jordan Grace for the win. So I don't know if that'll create something going forward. Like, I don't even know if this will be, this tournament will be canon, for lack of a better term. Like, I don't know if the things that happened in this tournament will play out going forward, or if this is just like a one-off and it's almost, I know they'll acknowledge the winners of the tournament, but in terms of any other feuds that develop or whatever happened throughout the show, I'm not sure how they'll treat it. I thought this match was a little bit better than the opener. I still don't think it was amazing. Basically, the adjective I'm going to use for most of this is it was fun, right? Like, this was just a fun little match, a little bit more wrestling than the first one possibly. But again, still nothing amazing, but the crowd is so into it and you're just kind of seeing different things. You're anticipating, are the men and women going to wrestle, right? Are they not? What's this going to look like? So I thought it was a fun little match, is I guess what I would say. So after this match, Steve Maclin runs in, who's been just sort of had a few promos and vignettes and then been just beating jobbers for the most part for a few weeks now. Formerly Steve Cutler from WWE. He runs in, attacks Petey, hits his finisher that's some sort of pile driver looking thing. It's actually starting to look better. I think he slightly changed it from when he first got there, but it looked pretty good. So they've kind of had issues on recent episodes of Impact. So he takes Petey out with his finisher, basically. And then we move into, there's a vignette where Morrissey talks about Edwards, but I'm not going to go over that too much. We then get another of the homecoming matches in the first round, which is Tommy Dreamer. He's got his animal face paint on versus Rachel Ellering, who's kind of got her Legion of Doom or Road Warriors face paint on as well, versus Brian Myers with Sam Beal. And then this is where we're going to get another mystery partner. It's funny because both my son and I had the exact same reaction. We said, you know, Tommy Dreamer's had the animal face paint on before as a tribute, I think, after Animal passed away. But then we're like, what's Rachel Ellering have? Oh, wait a second. And then just as soon as we each the Ellering last name, we said the same thing. Of course, this makes sense. So we felt a little bit dumb because at first we're like, why is Rachel? Oh, wait a minute. That's why. Because her dad was their manager forever. So the story with Brian Myers and Sam Beal is Sam Beal is basically his protege or his young boy. And anything that goes wrong, Brian Myers immediately blames Beal. So Beal was responsible for finding Myers a partner for this tournament. So basically it's revealed that this is Missy Hyatt. So I'm familiar with Missy Hyatt because I've been watching wrestling for 30 plus years. My son, who's 14, was with me and he's heard of her, but I almost feel like this was a bit of a far reach for Impact Wrestling into the past. I'm not sure how many people without a quick Google search would really know who Missy Hyatt. Like, she's original ECW, so we're going back a long way. And as we find out, she wasn't even a wrestler, right? She was basically a manager. So she's here wearing jeans and very, very high heels. Basically, the point is she's not dressed to wrestle whatsoever. And I don't think they're trying to say like she didn't even know she was going to be wrestling, so she's upset. But eventually she takes off the high heels and stands in the corner as though she is going to be Myers' partner. So this one, again, there wasn't too much going on here. The crowd is really wants Missy Hyatt to get in the ring, and they're quite happy that she's there. Again, they're pretty much happy with everything. So Dreamer reverses a spear attempt into a Spicoli driver near the end. Both the men sort of need to tag out, but of course Missy doesn't want the tag. She does the classic drop off the apron and sort of get out of there because she's not a wrestler. So this obviously gives Dreamer time to sort of get his win back. He gets Myers up in the electric chair, tags Rachel Ellering. She goes up and they hit the doomsday device to Brian Myers for the win. This to me was the weakest in-ring of anything so far tonight. There really was nothing other than the doomsday device to finish it with in this match. It was a lot of just the dynamic between Missy Elliott coming out, not being a wrestler, Beal sort of making that mistake, Myers pretty much having to go it alone in this match, or completely having to go it alone, and taking a doomsday device and losing. So again, just a little bit of fun. I don't know what else to keep saying, because these aren't good matches, but I'm not upset and I'm not hating it. There's very little going on, but again, it's just Ellering and Tommy Dreamer having fun and doing this. So I don't know. It's a really hard pay-per-view for me to review, if I'm being honest, because I know that not much really good happened on this show in terms of in-ring, but I didn't really care that much for some reason. Violent by Design get one of their usual promos where Eric Young does a really good job, but this faction just kind of feels like they're allowed to win kind of meaningless matches, but when it's important, they don't win. So they did have a little bit of run with the tag team titles where I thought, okay, they're going to start racking up wins and be a legitimate sort of force in this company, but then they lost them quickly. So I never really know what's going on with them. They cut really cool promos, but they don't seem to accomplish much. So then we get another first round match, I guess the final one, I'm going to say. So it's Decay, which is Rosemary and Crazy Steve for this. And they're going to face, I thought it was kind of funny, Fala and Flava, which is Fala Ba and Tasha Steeles, obviously. So this one I thought was a little definitely better than the previous one, because I think Tommy Dreamer's Ellering match was the weakest one of this bunch. And again, in these first round matches, right, like some of these people are going to have to wrestle three matches throughout the night. So they're not looking to have a barn burner in the opening round. I understand that. And this is pay-per-views all about just, I think, sort of lighthearted fun, if you will. So this one ends up with Fala Ba trying to splash Rosemary at one point, but he ends up splashing Crazy Steve. And then a little bit later, Crazy Steve hits his jumping DDT to Fala Ba off the ropes, and that picks up the win for them. So Decay eliminates Fala and Flava and moves on to the second round. And again, like, not really much is happening here in terms of work rate or whatever term you want to use, but the wrestlers are having fun, the fans are having fun. I mean, if you paid for this, you paid $10, so maybe you're getting $10 worth of fun. I'm not sure. If you're just 100% work rate guy, which, to be honest, I tend to be a work rate guy, I think, a lot, but I don't know, this doesn't bother me for some reason. I felt like I was just sitting back and enjoying a house show. I know I've said that a lot, but it really was the feel for me. So Macklin gets a little thing to tell us he wants to go after the X Division and Petey Williams is in the way. I think that's smart, positioning Macklin in the X Division. The main championship sort of being dominated by Omega and people from other places, which leaves the X Division as sort of the one specifically for Impact. And I also think Petey Williams is a good, like, sort of gatekeeper into the division or into actually wrestling competitive matches, because Macklin really hasn't done that yet so far. So the next match we get, we sort of take a break from the tournament, and we get a match that I thought really over-delivered, which was Willie Mack versus Diener. So Willie Mack has Rich Swann with him. Diener, as always, has Eric Young, Rhino, and Joe Doering with him. So this match, I kind of got into this match, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it was pretty good. Near the end, of course, some interference comes into play as Eric Young hits Willie Mack with the flagpole, and then Diener, off of that advantage, hits, I forget what his finishing move is. Is it a DDT as well? I forget what it was, but he ends up picking up the three count and the win here. I actually thought this was a pretty enjoyable match, and maybe just because it was such a change, right? We've been watching sort of mixed tag matches without a lot of offense happening, and then this I thought was a pretty well-worked match. I didn't mind it, and again, it's Violent by Design picking up a win when it's kind of meaningless. I had a feeling Diener was going to pick up the win against Willie Mack here. Willie Mack doesn't really seem to beat many people. I do like Willie Mack, and I think he's really good in the ring, and he does things that a man of that body type shouldn't be able to do. But when it comes down to it, he tends to be sort of a quality win for other people to get, it seems like, his role in Impact. So Diener needs to pick up a win here and there, because he's constantly doing this storyline of sort of letting Violent by Design down and that they just keep losing. So again, they pick up what seems to be somewhat of a meaningless win here, but I thought this was a pretty good match, actually. So then we go back to the homecoming, and this is now the semifinal. So it's Deonna Purrazzo and the Drama King versus Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green. So I thought the second round matches do definitely, or semifinal matches, I guess, technically, definitely were a little bit better. We're getting a little bit more offense, a little bit more of wrestling going on in these. So this one ended with the Drama King and Cardona sort of a bunch of reversals, and then the Drama King actually hits his finisher, that sort of kickback DDT thing, on Matt Cardona, and they pick up the three count and the win and advance to the finals. So Perrazzo and the Drama King are the first team to advance to the finals. I was a little, I shouldn't say I was surprised by this. I had a feeling Perrazzo might be, because this just sort of suits her, right? But I also thought that Cardona and Chelsea Green had a chance at this, although it feels like you'd want a heel team with these crowns. It just sort of suits a heel tandem to be just arrogant and bragging about winning these. So I kind of thought it would end up on a heel. But I thought this was a pretty good match in terms of relative to the other matches in this tournament. This was one of the stronger ones, I thought. Nothing really special. Not a lot of interesting male versus female action or anything. Just another kind of light standard match with a little bit more work than some of the other ones. So, I mean, again, it was a fun match with a bit more wrestling than some of the other ones. I'm sorry, this is not the most in-depth analysis I'm giving to things. But if you watch this show, I think you know what I'm talking about, probably. So the other semifinal comes up then, and that is Rosemary and Crazy Steve facing Tommy Dreamer and Rachel Ellering again. This one I thought was back to... I didn't love this one. I found the Dreamer and Ellering matches were probably my least favorite, but I think this was better than the other one. Their first round match was probably my least favorite in the tournament. But for this one, we actually did get our first... I think it was our first kind of extreme move, male to female, where Dreamer near the end does hit Rosemary with the pile driver. As sort of Rosemary's kind of calling him on and asking him to hit her with something. So Steve and Dreamer, then there's a few counters and things, and Steve eventually rolls up Tommy Dreamer for the win. So that's going to put Decay against Deonna Purrazzo and the Drama King in the finals for Homecoming King and Queen. Again, I thought this match was okay. It was better than a couple in this tournament, but not the best. So somewhere in the middle of just like light fun matches, if you will. And then we sort of get another break from the tournament as we got what was my match of the night. I was what I was most looking forward to coming into the show. It was the only thing that my teenage son wanted to watch. He ended up watching a couple matches with me, but this is what he really wanted to see. And that's the Impact X Division Championship match with Black Taurus, who I really like. I mean, storyline-wise, it's completely random, basically, that he's been selected for this match. I really wish they would do more with Black Taurus because I find him pretty fascinating from his ring gear, right? If you don't know the crazy mask, the bull mask he wears, you should probably check it out. He wears like furry boots that look like hooves. So it's this bizarre gimmick and this crazy combination of like power and speed. And I find him really fun to watch in the ring. And Josh Alexander is one of my favorites. I compare him to kind of like a new version of Kurt Angle almost. So I was really looking forward to this match. The fans were really into it. They're chanting both these guys right away. So it's one of these, like, again, these fans are up for anything. They're not caring who the heel or who the face is. They're just cheering and happy for any sort of action. So this was a really good back and forth match, I thought. Taurus doing some just things that you don't expect him to do when he showcases his speed, especially like when he sprints up the ropes and hits moves off of the top rope, things like that. Lots of Josh Alexander doing his usual thing. A really competitive match, back and forth, kind of as we go. So at the end of this, Alexander has to resort to a headbutt to take advantage of Taurus. And then Taurus hits a discus clothesline, but then he runs into Alexander's finishing sequence, which I love right now, seems to be a powerbomb backbreaker into the C4 spike, as he calls it, which is a J-driller. I don't like the name C4 because that's already another move. But anyways, it's basically the double underhook pile driver that looks pretty cool. And Josh Alexander gets the win here. And I thought this was an excellent match. Both of these guys really performed here again. And it really stands out on a show full of kind of light mixed tag team matches. And then you just get these two guys just going for it. It did start off kind of slowly, but then it picked up, and by the end, I was really into it. It was my match of the night for sure. It's one I would recommend. I'm just really high on the X Division right now. Josh Alexander is the champion I love. I think he could be your face of Impact going forward. And Black Taurus, I think, is incredible. Again, I wish there was more of a storyline behind this instead of just sort of Black Taurus was kind of picked and put into this match. But a really strong match. It's the one I would recommend if you really want to see in-ring work from this show. This is probably the match you want to see. So my favorite match of the night, Josh Alexander retaining the X Division Championship. We then get the homecoming King and Queen final with Deonna Purrazzo and the Drama King versus Decay, Rosemary, and Crazy Steve. So I think this would probably be my favorite match of this tournament. It kind of makes sense. This is the finals. They don't have to wrestle another match, so they can kind of give it all they've got left after two matches already in this show. So I quite enjoyed this one relative to the other ones. Still, was it an amazingly worked match, tag team match? Probably not, but was it pretty good? Yeah, I thought it was. So somewhere along the line here, near the end, Deonna blocks a pile driver, but doesn't block the reverse DDT. The Drama King does a neck snap from behind onto, I think it was Rosemary. Steve goes over the top, dives onto the Drama King, and that leaves Deonna alone in the ring with Rosemary, and she hits the Queen's Gambit, which is kind of like, I think, a gotch pile driver, basically. It's one of the numerous finishing moves Deonna uses. So she hits that on Rosemary and picks up the three count, and your homecoming King and Queen are the Drama King and Deonna Purrazzo. So the crowns come out. This was kind of disappointing, anticlimactic. Deonna Purrazzo puts her crown on, or I guess the Drama King puts it on her, and then she goes to put the Drama King's crown on, and honestly, it barely fits it his head. It looks like he's like wearing a child's crown or something. But anyways, they win. They are the champions. It could be interesting going forward. These crowns really suit these two and their heel personas, so I'm looking forward to... I don't know how much they can actually like tie it into future episodes and things, because it's such a unique tournament and a unique title, but I mean, maybe they're going to try to, so we'll see. So a decent little match here. We then move into what is our main event, and that's a hardcore match between Eddie Edwards and Morrissey. So this has sort of been brewing for a while. They've had issues. They had a brawl in the parking lot, which ended in just Morrissey disappearing, which kind of bugged me on a recent episode of Impact, maybe the most recent one. But anyway, so we get into this, and... there were some crazy spots here, mostly by Eddie Edwards. There's trash cans, there's kendo sticks, there's tables, there's all kinds of things. At one point, Eddie gets basically choke bombed onto the ring apron. There's a couple times he goes through tables and things. A couple crazy spots. He gets zip tied at one point and hit repeatedly with a kendo stick. He breaks out of those zip ties, he gets his kendo stick, and he attacks Morrissey, including what one looked like a direct to the head shot. I don't know if that was intentional or not. Eddie then wraps, excuse me, there's a chain has been introduced in the match because Morrissey used one the last time they faced off. Morrissey hit, I believe, Eddie with a chain. So the chain sort of makes a repeat appearance here. He wraps it around his knee pad after a little bit of effort to make sure it's going to stay there. He looks to hit the Boston Knee Party with the chain on, and he does, and picks up the three count here. A little bit of a surprise. I thought they were just going to keep booking Morrissey as a dominant, undefeated monster, but he picks up his first loss here to Eddie Edwards. I enjoyed this match. It started off kind of slow as well, and I mean, Eddie really took a beating in this, going through tables. Morrissey did go through one table. He was sort of shoulder tackled through it. It looked pretty good as well. The table really did disintegrate, but Eddie took the brunt of the damage in this match, I think. But I thought it was pretty good. I don't think Morrissey is amazing in the ring, so I think putting him in this style of match is probably smart. And Eddie just had to sort of survive and wait for his opportunity to do something big to take this guy out. And that was sort of shoulder tackling him through a table and hitting him with a knee strike with a chain wrapped around it. So I don't think it makes Morrissey look weak. Eddie picks up a win here, which he kind of needs to at some point. He's just kind of bouncing around in wherever they need a sort of a good hand in a feud or a program. They're just kind of plugging Eddie Edwards in, it feels like to me. So I thought this was a pretty good match. It definitely wasn't to the level of the X Division Championship match earlier on in this show. But I did think that it was a pretty fun match. The last little bit of it was good. There's like three spots that I thought Eddie took that were pretty crazy and enjoyable. So an enjoyable match. Was it amazing? No, but I thought it was pretty good. So that's going to lead to an overall rating for this show, which I find really hard because, again, it's a very laid back, like, house show vibe here. It's almost like the cameras aren't on. You guys are just going to work on some stuff and have some fun and just make the people that are here laugh. There's like four rows of people. Let's just give them a good time if we can't just blow them away with in-ring stuff. And I think that's what this was. And then you got mixed in there some matches, right? The main event hardcore match that was pretty good. the X Division Championship defense, which I thought was a very, very good to excellent match. And even the Diener and Willie Mack singles match, I thought over-delivered a little bit for me. So if I combine that with, I didn't hate any of the tournament matches. Were they really strong matches? No, they weren't. But were they just kind of light, fun matches? Yes. So I think I'm going to settle on giving this show like a solid B, like the good old 7.5 out of 10. Like, I'm aware I didn't see a lot of like groundbreaking wrestling and things in this show, but I was pretty much entertained, and it was close to 3 hours basically. And I didn't struggle to get through it. It was just kind of light entertainment on a Saturday evening, although I must admit I watched a bunch of it on Sunday. I think I went half and half basically. So it was a hard one to sort of review. And if you are just a wrestling fan, like, you've got to have high in-ring work rate and stuff, this might not be the show for you. Definitely check out the X Division match, and maybe even the main event if you're interested in a decent little no DQ match. So overall, I'm going to give the show a B, and it was hard for me to say. I would love to hear from any of you what you thought of this show. That would be great if you'd contact me. fnswrestling@gmail.com is the easiest way, or if you're listening on YouTube, you can leave a comment there. What did you think of this pay-per-view? If you had to give it a grade or a mark at a 10, what would you give it and why? Were you okay with it just being kind of silly and fun, and maybe, I don't want to say pointless, a strong word, but I'm not sure how much this is going to factor into Impact Wrestling going forward, especially the tournament matches and stuff. So let me know. I would love to hear what you thought of this. I think that's going to bring me to the end of this solo mission. I'd love to hear what you felt, because this is me not going move for move. This is just me really summarizing the finish and telling you what I thought. I just thought I'd throw in a quick bonus episode. I didn't take extensive notes on this show because, again, I was just kind of watching it in passing for something fun to do. So let me know how you feel about this without this sort of more laid back format of the podcast as well. Just wanted to give you my opinions on these matches really quickly. That, I think, is going to wrap it up. You can probably look for the Ring of Honor podcast coming out probably later today, as usually on Monday when I put it out. So thanks again for any of you that spent any time with me listening to me talk about wrestling at any point this week or any other week. I really do appreciate it. And I hope to see you back here for another episode soon. And until then, take care.